Local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
Can we forget about the things I said when I was drunk?
Well, I don't think so. You can't forget about the things you've said. You can't forget about the things you've done, that you've posted, that you've tweeted, that... We all make mistakes, but in this woke culture, you better wake up because they're going to come after anything that you've done in your past. Happy Thursday. Good morning. And look at that blue sky. What is this? Occasional shower today? Or forgot how he put it. Just might pop in out of nowhere. Well, that's okay. We'll take whatever water we can get. It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. 884-9910 is the number to call. And, of course, Monica at 991fmtalk.com. And thank goodness for you. I was all started set to talk about the Trump administration getting another win in the courts and how this may affect us here in Northern Nevada. But then you guys start emailing me and just got me all riled up, got me all PO'd. First off, I want to direct you before I go to those emails, I want to direct you to what I had originally planned. And that was another win for the Trump administration. Head on over to our website at 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. Do you think the Trump administration is justified in revoking green cards from people who abuse the welfare system? The green cards, the visas, yes or no? Do you think the Trump administration is justified in revoking those visas and green cards from people that abuse the welfare system? This is what the Trump administration gets to do now. Don't we want people working and immigrating into this country who want to make it better, who want to see us thrive as not only a city or state where they're working, but a nation, so we can continue on to be great, not suffer at the hands of a global economy that can get wiped out by a form of the flu? You would think. But then there are also those who just get into this country any way they can so they can live off of the system. How do we stop that? Well, first off, you modify the system. You fix the system and make it that illegals cannot get benefits. If you come into this country illegally, you cannot receive benefits that have been put together by the hardworking men and women of this country, American citizens. There should be no ifs, ands, or buts about that. That should include the food system, the healthcare system, the anchor babies, all of it. If you are in this country illegally, you're in this country illegally. No driver's licenses. No licenses for you to start up a business. There should be no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So what do you think? Answer today's poll question. Now that I've got people riled up about that, because I know there are a lot of farms, a lot of ranches around the area that say they'd rather pay an illegal than get some teenager who doesn't want to work, who's lazy. Well, now granted, I have seen that, okay? I have a friend that owns a business here in South Reno, and she's constantly hiring receptionists because One of the rules, put your phone away. Don't want to see your phone at all. You should be doing other things. You should be cleaning shelves. You should be, you know, helping other people, sweeping floors, not being on your phone. And she says it's constant. People get in and they don't want to work. They just want to be on their phones. Maybe have a lockbox when people come to work. I don't know. There's probably some violation of rights or something like that if you take away somebody's cell phone, which we've only had for the last, decade and a half. But here's the deal. If we don't stand by our laws, our rules that are in place for everybody, then what's the point of even having them? The big ones, the little ones. That store in San Francisco that I posted the video on Facebook the other day, that you can find anywhere for yourself, just Google it or DuckDuckGo it, whatever search engine you use. Three women dressed in black with surgical masks over their face go in and wipe out a cosmetics store. Just start sliding their arms down the shelves, knocking everything they can into big trash bags. How much of that stuff is going to be sold now just to their buddies for a buck? Or is going to be sold on sites like Poshmark or all the other sites like that. And now they're making money off of burglary and stealing, and the cops don't do anything about it. We have to enforce the laws. Big ones, little ones, and everything in between. This is what makes us a good society, a kind society, a smart society. So please, whether it be illegal immigration, shoplifting, hit and runs, we've got to all step up. Here's something else that needs to be illegal. Oh, wait. It is. Monica at 991fmtalk.com. I didn't believe Ryan. Ryan sent me an email this morning. Price gouging on Amazon. I'm like, what? No. And then pictures of Purell. $295. What? No way. So I pulled up my Amazon account. And not happy. Not happy at all. Well, this is okay. Purell Advanced Hand Sanitizer. 2 8 fluid ounces. So you get a 2-pack. $60. That seems kind of high. As I keep scrolling through. Yeah, this isn't good. $20 for one fluid ounce? Keep scrolling. Pack of 24. Those little foam, hand sanitizing foams with a sweet fragrance, travel sized. Pack of 24. $120. 2-pack. 12 fluid ounces, $100. What? People are definitely taking advantage of the coronavirus, COVID-19. Well, let me tell you. Don't get caught up in this. Go buy a bottle of vodka, a bottle of aloe gel, and some seagrass and lavender essential oils. Mix those together in the right amounts, and you got hand sanitizer. Don't buy into the scare. And don't throw your money away to buy hand sanitizer that you can make at home. Told that to somebody the other day. She said, I don't want to make it at home. It's like, really? You don't want to make it at home. You would rather pay a fluid ounce of $20. That's one of those little bottles you put in your purse. Yeah. So looking this over Amazon, then I got upset about something else. Because we have a problem with people with drugs and alcohol and looking for a way to get high. Purell Advanced Hand Sanitizer. Okay. Perfect name. Goes into description. Okay, what's this one? Purell Advanced Hand Sanitizer Warm Holiday Flavor. Think about that for a second. What's wrong with that? Purell Hand Sanitizer Warm Fireplace Flavor. So two different hand sanitizers here. What is wrong with that description? I know it's semantics, but certain words tell people certain things. And we know people have been using hand sanitizer to get high. They've been drinking it. I know, as disgusting as it sounds. But when you have the description as warm holiday flavor, wouldn't you think that there was something wrong with that? It's a scent, not a flavor. Scent, flavor, big difference for people who are stupid. Companies have to be better than that. Purell, shame on you. Shame on you. 884-9910. We'll be back on the Monica J Show after we take a quick break. Wow, can't believe this stuff. 884-9910.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Toby Keith. Nice. Coming to Reno. It's going to be at the Nugget, July 11th. Already got my tickets. Thank you to the auction. For the Carson Republican Club. I paid a pretty price for them, but you know what? Even what I paid there is a donation to make sure that Republicans get elected. I still got away cheaper than buying them online. It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Going through the headlines today. started off the show talking about just enforcing laws in places like San Francisco. And of course, we've got our homeless situation here. Going to Carson now. The cojones on people nowadays. Literally. Man arrested yesterday for suspicion of battery and contempt right here on the front page of Carson Now. Officers were called to a store because an employee noticed a man walking out of the store with a bottle of vodka, shrimp, and a block of cheese. Huh, not in a bag. Could they be shoplifting? Can't even get shoplifters to bring their own bags. I know. It's not a joke. This is serious, people. This is the attitude now that is being instilled on people when it comes to minor infractions. Whether it be big box stores or mom and pop shops. I wonder what's going to happen when somebody walks into, you know, a Sportsman's Warehouse or a Shields and starts doing this. Or walks into Maccabee Arms and starts shoplifting. Enforce the laws. There should be no limit on shoplifting. If somebody goes in and steals a $10 trinket, that is showing you the beginning of the pattern of what could become a lifestyle. When does it move on from vodka, shrimp, and cheese, or makeup, to bigger items? When do people start checking the prices? This isn't even $600. I can take off with it. Cops aren't going to do anything. I don't know about you, but a lot of the businesses around Northern Nevada are mom and pop shops. And $100, $600 being swiped on a daily basis, multiple people, that's going to put them out of business. Because people migrating, we'll put it that way, from Washington State, from California, from Oregon, who have allowed the legalized vagrancy. Their network putting it in. Oh, hey, Reno's the same way. And you can sit around and gamble with your government money. And the weather's beautiful. This is the road to destruction. I am more concerned about this than I am the stupid coronavirus, which, by the way, can spread very easily in the homeless vagrancy community. Very easily. You've already got other diseases spreading. So the city, the county, law enforcement, just putting everybody in danger. We have to hold representatives that we elect responsible. Jeff Church, former Reno sergeant, is going to be joining us in just a moment. Not only to talk about that front page picture that's on the RGJ, if you still get that, of the homeless encampment. Doesn't look like a homeless encampment to me. Look like pure vagrants. Just total vagrancy. Those people don't want to own a home. They don't want to rent a nice apartment. They don't even want to rent a trashy apartment. And if you're struggling, yeah, like I am, if you're struggling, I'm getting worked up. If you're struggling just to put a roof over your heads and your kids' heads, is that somebody you want living next to you? It's really disgusting. It truly is. We'll be back after this Fox News update on the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
You need to speak more and louder and get just as aggressive about it as you can. We need it.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk. 99.1.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3, 99.1 FM Talk. I know I sound different than when I left, and didn't I? That's the thing. Vocal cords are a muscle as well, so I do a little hot tea, and then I do a little ice water, and it clears up a little bit of what I have there. But I figured I need to take a break. And so fortunately, my guest Jeff Church has called in to talk about that big old picture splashed across the front page of the RGJ about the homeless encampment. It's not a homeless encampment. Stop calling it that. It's vagrancy, pure and simple. Let's check in with Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Were you down at the clearing yesterday?
Not this one. I was at the last one, and it's just an endless game of whack-a-mole where they go from one to the other because Reno is like a deer in headlights refusing to do anything.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Now, Jeff has a long history of this. Jeff Church is a former Reno sergeant with the police department. He's also, oh gosh, military, education. Jeff, how did you procure all of these credentials?
I don't know, Monica. And I actually ran the Reno PD homeless program back in the day, and I was the board president of a homeless center. So I care deeply about God's children, but enabling them to do drugs and be mentally ill on the sidewalk is not the solution.
Jeff, when were you in charge of that? How many years ago?
That was quite a while ago, back in the 90s.
Okay, so this is not a new issue. This is something that has been going on for decades.
Yep. It's the homeless are discussed in the Bible. They go back forever, and Reno newspapers back in the old days have dealt with them on the river, but it's worse than ever. And now we've got disease, we've got typhus, we've got Hep A, and God forbid coronavirus hits those camps, and it game over. You know, it's terrible.
Right. So when you were on the force back then, what were your orders? I mean, what was the law that you had to enforce back in the 90s?
We did enforce the law. That was the problem. They're not enforcing the law now. We did clean up the river on a regular basis, and people could be arrested for sleeping on the sidewalk. And unfortunately, we're stuck with called the Boise decision from the Ninth Circuit, the liberal court, that we can't do that under certain circumstances unless they have beds to go to. So it's very confusing, but we can still arrest them for shoplifting or, you know, other things that are criminal in nature. And give them another place to go. And that's one of the big debates, if I can kind of explain that to the listeners.
Please do.
Okay. Essentially, right now they're camping on the river. They're camping in these places, and it's whack-a-mole where they're going to go somewhere else. We have sex offenders registered in the parks as their home address. You know, third tent on the left at Pickett Park. You can't make that up. So, many of us, including me, favor a safe, secure, sanctioned camping area, out of sight, out of mind, where they can't do drugs and they can get help. And here's the number one thing, Monica. It's mental illness and addiction. It's not housing. It's not jobs. These people are mentally ill and or addicted, and you can't talk to them. You can't reason with them like a normal person because they want their drugs or they're schizophrenic. So sometimes jail is the best bad choice to get them the help they need. And sometimes having a safe camping area allows us through that Boise decision. Now we can make arrests because they've got a place to go. And by doing that, the number one thing, if you remember, you know, studying in high school about human needs, is survival. So once right. they're not worried about their survival, then we can get them into treatment. They get stabilized, and they may be more adaptable to getting into treatment. And if not, they get arrested, plain and simple. Well, and the jail is a bargain compared to having them on the street.
Okay, Jeff, but now you've brought up a third issue, because I didn't realize this. But for sex offenders, it's very hard to find residency because a lot of people will turn them away. There's children yes. in the apartment, there's or you know, in the complex or near a school. What do we do about that? Because that seems to be something that's out of the realm of the mental illness and the drug addiction.
Correct. And I'd rather have them in a safe, sanctioned area where they're supervised rather than living. Literally, Paradise Park is within view of Bernice Martin Matthews, and there's a sex offender registered there. It's unacceptable. Now, one other thing, Monica, we've looked at is something literally in the middle of nowhere, very remote location where they're not tempted with drugs and alcohol, either court-ordered or voluntary, and that's a win-win for everybody if we can do that. And we've identified locations. I really don't want to say them, but we've identified some really remote locations where they could go, and so that's another solution.
But isn't that the complaint on the other side from the people who are doing this, that it's, you know, whatever location you come up with is too far away from the shelters or the free food?
Well, yeah. So we give them the free food out in the middle of nowhere and the shelter. And not all, they don't want barracks, a lot of them. We'll give them the barracks, but a lot of them prefer to camp because they can have their dog, they can have their significant other, and they have their privacy. And I don't blame them. I was in the military. I'd rather be in my own tent than a barracks. So, yeah, it's actually a win-win, and it's very inexpensive to set up a camping area. And this would not be just, there would be some enabling because, again, they're mentally ill, and we've got to help these people. But on the other hand, they can self-function. They can build their own buildings. They can work in the laundry. They can work in the kitchen. They can work cleaning it up. They can work on the safety patrol. And one of the great ideas that people came up with is we get these old motor homes and mobile homes. They fix them up. They go in all beat up, and they come out sparkling new. Then they get to live in them. They get a reward.
Wow. Having people actually do work, that is something that has always angered me, Jeff, is we treat mm-hmm. the vagrancy and the homeless situation like these people cannot do anything. They can't pick up trash. They can't be punished with a way that is creative, that helps the community at the same time. I don't understand that.
Correct. Even the most mentally ill can work. They can find something. And I'll tell you a true story. I started my career in the jail. Pablo was the ideal trustee, hardworking, great human being until he got out, added alcohol, and he was obnoxious, fighting, screaming, spitting, and then we got him sobered up. And why do jail on what we call the installment plan? Give mm-hmm. them a place to go away from the drugs and alcohol. And I had a meth freak tell me the same thing. As long as the meth is out there, they're going to use it. So, you know, we got to either get them in jail or get them into a treatment program. And or instead of having the brick and mortar jail, we build a jail like L.A. has out in the middle of nowhere. It used to be, you know, and have a remote work camp, which doesn't require as much cost.
Well, and it doesn't require the law enforcement. I mean, there were at different
Correct.
Times, there was anywhere between 8 to 12 units that were out in this big cleanup yesterday. Is that an effective use of officers' time?
No, you can't let the camp exist, but it's whack-a-mole again. And what I mean by that is they just move. I'll bet you if you go to Pickett Park today or one of the other ones, probably five or six of them have moved over there, and the other ones moved down to Fisherman's Park. And, yeah, it's you've got to have a solution. And there's, I'm telling you, Reno and Sparks and Washoe County, they're like a deer in headlights. The recent CHAB meeting, which is the advisory board of elected officials, they have not voted on anything as long as I can remember. They hold the meetings. They have these action items to vote on. They can't do it. I mean, I don't know what it takes for them to make a decision, but they won't do it. And one of the things we've suggested is having them sit down with a facilitator or mediator behind closed doors, because all they do in public is pontificate and beat their own chests and accomplish nothing.
All right. Well, here you go. Bob Lucy is the chair of CHAB. He's Washoe County Commissioner. Marsha Burke-Bigler, County Commissioner, she's up for re-election. Neoma Jardin, also up for re-election. Oscar Delgado, a council member. Christopher Dare, Ed Lawson. These are the people to talk to and ask, why is the situation not being taken care of? Why do you have things under the agenda to vote for and you don't vote on anything? Jeff, who's holding this up?
They don't, Monica.
Is it CHAB? Is it the city? Who is stopping things from actually happening?
The CHAB just can't make a decision. I mean, literally, it's frustrating to watch. The only thing that they agree on is approving the last minutes of where they didn't make a decision. They just literally have agenda item after agenda item, and I literally am not exaggerating, have never made an actual vote to do something. It's just frustrating.
They're and again, just an advisory board. Who are they? Excuse me. Who are they not advising? I mean, can't
the
advisory board
their
just
own city councils?
So again, it goes back to the commission and city councils.
And see, if you go to the city council, they say, "Well, that's the CHAB." They point fingers and go, "Well, the CHAB didn't tell us anything." But yeah, that's what I've said. Somebody somewhere, do something, make a decision, go to a mediator, sit down behind closed doors, have the county manager and the city managers meet. Yeah, and again, they just won't do anything, but they just point fingers. And, you know, meanwhile, people die. Amber Shaw burned to death, age 31, in her tent on the river, and it could have been avoided. And also, Monica, nobody seems to care that these ladies and some men are sexually assaulted by these gangs on the river because they're homeless. They don't count. It's not the same sexual assault as, you know, a non-homeless person. Don't we care about these human beings?
Well, and it's not just the woman who burned to death. We're finding bodies in the river. They're finally cleaning up one encampment that has actual buildings that's been there for 3 years. They're finally cleaning that up because there was a body found in the river by him. You know, Jeff, we've got two of the members on the CHAB board. I don't know about the city of Sparks. These people are seeking re-election. I know Neoma Jardin has done something. She's gone down to Pickett Park to be against people being arrested and people being moved out and taking them food and try to do other things for them. So we know how she stands on that. She's not about fixing the problem. The only way that we can get this taken care of is by voting.
Yes, and I don't even know if anybody's running against Jardin up north Reno. I don't think we have a good candidate so far, and there's only 7 days left to file. Same thing with the school board up in that district. I'm running for school board down south, but I'm not sure about up north. So, yeah, we've got to get good people to run, and good common citizens like me can do it. You don't have to be part of the good old boy. Anybody can run.
Please don't be a part of the good old boys club. I want to see people with just normal resumes and, you know, not even a college education, because that's, you lose your common sense in college, I swear. Jeff Church, thank you so much for keeping us up on this, and I want to have you back on the show to discuss law enforcement and the vicious circle of overtime and hiring new officers, because how long have we had, how many officers do we have?
the same as we had in 1989.
See, that's not me just making it up. All right.
Nope.
Jeff Church, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to hear from you again very soon. We're going to take a quick break
on
the Monica. Oh, I love hearing that. We're going to take a quick break on the Monica Jay Show, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3, 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today. And if you would like to call in, make a comment, whatever you want to comment about tonight or today. What was I thinking tonight? It's a beautiful blue sky outside. How can you confuse that? Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Carol this morning. Wants to talk about the homeless or the vagrancy issue in Minden. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling the show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. And thank you so much for your show. It is amazing the information that I've heard come through your program. Listen, I wanted to just make a comment regarding this homelessness. Many, many years ago, I had to seek a psychologist for some personal reasons. And during that time of visiting with him and learning, he wanted to put together a book. And he went out and lived with the homeless people. And during that time, I can't remember how long he stayed with them, but he commented that a lot of them, he was really surprised how many of them actually wanted to be homeless. They didn't want the responsibility of mm-hmm. having to pay rent or buying food or any of this, that this is the way they chose because evidently they had a lot of people that would help them. And I found that to be really interesting. And now that I see the homelessness growing everywhere, it just keeps reminding me of what he had said. And when you were asking about, you know, who's responsible for trying to take care of all of this, I'm beginning to question our governor, you know, shouldn't he, since he's in charge of the whole state, maybe he can be the one to start the ball rolling to get this cleaned up?
Well, I have a feeling if Governor Sisolak did anything, he is going to be on the side of Gavin Newsom, who's the governor of California, who's going to say it's Trump's fault and is going to seek assistance from the federal government. Not
yeah,
the route
this
to
is
take.
What I'm concerned about, too.
I think it is the route of the mayor, because if you look at the mayor in Sparks, okay, he enforces the law. He has... The police enforce the law. There is no camping along the Truckee River. If you are homeless, that's fine. You need to go and get yourself help. And there are beds available. So what do
Can
they do?
I ask
they come
one more
to
question?
Reno. They come to Reno because Reno doesn't enforce the law. Yes, please ask a question.
Is it possible that the governor, Sisolak, I hate to call him that. Oof. Anyway, is it possible that he has put out the word to all these mayors that you allow and let these vagrants, homeless people, be?
I don't think that he has put the word out because, honestly, Carol, we have had this problem because I've worked with KTMB, Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful, for a long time, many, many mm-hmm. years. And that has been one of the things that they have been fighting for the last 15 years that I've worked with them, going in, doing
okay.
the river cleanups. And it was always, you know, the law enforcement had to go with them or they had to clean out the areas. So I think it's the decision of a liberal mayor as opposed to a conservative mayor.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's the way it is.
Yeah. It's a shame because it affects everybody.
It really
Not
does. Yeah. Carol, thank you so much for calling, and I appreciate your input on this because it's so important for all of us to talk and to let the elected representatives know we know what's going on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've got representatives that just aren't doing stuff. What are you seeing a growing number of vagrants and homeless in Minden?
I have not. We back up to BLM, but I have seen more people coming out here than usual, And, you know, my concern is that they're going to find this place where we are, and they may start here. I have seen a few, but not a lot. There have been people that have been camping out, you know, for at least short periods of time, but nothing's accumulating. Yeah, but I just assume sooner or later.
I can't remember the full extent of the law, but there is, you can camp on BLM land for, I believe, 2 weeks. So, you might see it 2 weeks at a time. But then, Carol, you might also see, as Jeff put it, the whack-a-mole, that they were camping here for 2 weeks, and now they're just going to move over there for 2 weeks. So please keep an eye on it and contact your elected representatives in the area and make sure that they know, you know, identifying marks of tents or things like that. If they have animals, it's up to you. It's up to the people in the community. All right. We'll be back with Bruce after we take a quick break here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.